This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, some information on how you should look at fish advisories and whether the fish you eat is good for you. We also have a forecast coming up from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First of all, a look at today's news. Students shaken by Monday's shootings at Virginia Tech gathered on the quad of the University of Illinois last night in a vigil organized by campus religious organizations. AM 580's Jim Meadows was there.
A minister from the Korean Jesus Love United Methodist Church in Urbana asked God to comfort the families of the victims at Virginia Tech during a candlelight vigil attracting more than 250 students. Among those gathered on the quad last night was Scott Banjovic. The U of I junior said he wanted to join with others to express his love and concern.
Well, even if it's just through channels of just being a community together. I think it's important that we are a community as a university and that know that these are people just like us. And this sort of thing can happen here. And to know that we have this family here at U of I is an incredible feeling.
Wesley Foundation Minister Rob Kirby helped organize the vigil for the Campus Religious Workers Association. He said the Virginia Tech shootings had left some U of I students wondering if such violence might happen on their campus, and some Koreans on campus fearing they might be singled out for retribution. But Kirby said that with the reverberations of pain could also come reverberations of healing. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Technology will soon help the University of Illinois send emergency notices quicker to the Urbana campus, no matter where people are. Interim Police Chief Crystal Fitzpatrick hopes to have a new mass communication system in place yet this spring. It would let the university send emergency communication out in an instant to thousands of cell phones, PDAs, and email boxes on campus. Fitzpatrick says the U of I campus has an emergency operations committee to assess problems, but sometimes those problems require very quick action.
If it's crime-related, it is a conversation between myself and the chancellor, me keeping him advised of a current crime pattern or recent events, such as the armed robberies we had, and with the assistance of the Office of Public Affairs, a message is crafted.
Fitzpatrick says the future U of I notification system was in the works well before Monday's shooting at Virginia Tech. In that situation, students had complaints about the time it took to receive information about the incident. A majority of Illinois House members voted yesterday to allow judges and prosecutors to carry guns. However, the measure failed. The legislation sponsored by Murfreesboro Republican Representative Mike Boss got 62 votes to 51 against, but majority Democrats ruled that the proposal needed 71 votes because it would overrule local communities' gun control laws. State's attorneys and public defenders and their assistants, as well as judges, would have been able to carry concealed weapons under the bill. Boss says those court officials face threats daily and deserve to defend themselves. Critics argue it opened the door to a statewide concealed carry law. Businesses large and small came to the state capitol yesterday to talk about the impact of a proposed gross receipts tax. The governor wants the tax to pay for an ambitious health care program, but as Sean Crawford reports, not all businesses think alike.
Cindy Neal runs a personnel service in Peoria.
On my business, based on my gross receipts, I would have to come up with about $65,000 based on my current sales off the top to pay for the privilege of doing business in the state of Illinois.
Neal says she already offers employees health coverage and understands the importance of people being able to see a doctor, but adds if the governor's plan to provide universal coverage becomes law, it could wind up having the reverse effect.
That would mean that I'd have to reconsider the health insurance plan that I have for my staff.
Neal was not alone. Hundreds of employers from throughout the state descended on Springfield, a show of strength organized at the direction of the state's Chamber of Commerce. But those on the other side of the argument were ready as well. A health care group brought in businesses to offer up support for the governor. Edmund Brown runs a cleaning firm in East St. Louis.
I think we as a country need to just step up, and I think the governor is stepping up with an issue to try to put something in place that we can move forward in that.
The governor wants to tax companies that earn more than $2 million a year in gross revenue, regardless of their profit. His plan is to put the money raised into coverage for the uninsured and more school funding. I'm Sean Crawford.
Meanwhile, nearby at the old state capitol in Springfield, the state held its annual Holocaust Memorial Observance yesterday. It marked the 27th year of the event. Krista Kukowski was there.
My name is Morris Zemsky, and I'm a Holocaust survivor.
Morris Zemsky is a native of Poland who now lives in Skokie. He lost most of his immediate family during the Holocaust, which claimed the lives of 6 million Jews. Illinois remembers those lives lost each year. Zemsky spoke at the annual event and told of he and his brother who fled from Nazi troops, only to go separate ways in the hope that at least one survived. Zemsky says he never saw his brother again. After the war, Zemsky married another Holocaust survivor. Another speaker told the audience that the Holocaust is history that everyone shares. The state has declared this week as Days of Remembrance in Illinois for Holocaust survivors. I'm Krista Kukowski.
A highway official in western Indiana says a new law increasing state funds for covered bridges will serve as a real boost to the area's most recognizable landmarks. Randy Norman is highway superintendent in Park County, where he oversees maintenance on 29 covered bridges. He says weight limits are getting low on most of them, and many need their fair share of restoration, too.
There's always painting to be done to them, and siding repair and roof repair, things like that, along with some structural repair, too, once in a while.
The bill signed last week by Governor Mitch Daniels increases the appropriation for each Indiana covered bridge by about $600, increasing the total per bridge to just over $1,800. Norman notes that state dollars help, but won't cover everything. He says major structural work on many of the bridges often runs over $1 million. The projects get additional help from property taxes and local donations. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Fish advisories are often confusing. The guidelines change depending on your gender and age and on the type of fish you're eating. For the Environment Report, Kyle Norris boils down some of the information in advisories and comes up with a few things to think about when you eat fish.
So I did a little informal survey the other day where I asked my friends what they knew about eating fish. And some of my friends said, hey, isn't eating fish good for you? Well, turns out they're right. Fish are great sources of protein. They're low in the bad fats and high in good fats, or omega-3 fatty acids, which help your heart stay healthy. And some of my other friends knew that fish were bad for you. Turns out they're also right. Fish take in pollutants through their food and water, toxins such as mercury, PCBs, and dioxins. If humans eat enough contaminated fish, those contaminants can build up in our bodies and cause serious health problems. Contaminants are especially threatening for small children and women of childbearing age because they can affect children's developing nervous systems. Governments put out advisories so we know which fish are safe to eat. But advisories aren't the easiest thing to understand. And anyway, what do you do if you're in a restaurant or you're cruising through the grocery store and you just want some fish?
We're standing in front of the seafood counter at Whole Foods and we're looking at our fresh case.
That's Nels Carson. He heads up the seafood department at my local Whole Foods market. He says people ask him about fish safety every day.
It can be kind of a daunting topic, I think, because there is such a variety. It's not just a gross generalization. So it really takes a lot of dialogue between customers and team members, and having a very knowledgeable team member base here really helps that.
They'll ask him about mercury in the fish, a highly toxic metal that occurs naturally, but is a lot more prevalent, mostly because of coal-burning power plants. Mercury shows up in higher concentrations in certain kinds of fish. It's nice to have a knowledgeable guy like Nels to talk with. Good fish vendors, such as Whole Foods, go through special training on fish safety. But what if there is no seafood expert hanging out by the fish sticks in the freezer section, if you know what I mean? Anita Sandretto teaches in the Environmental Health Sciences Department at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. And she said that my friends are right. Okay, well, she didn't really say that. But she said there are good things about fish and there are bad things about fish.
If you want to have the benefit of the fat and the omega-3 fatty acids, eat the fish with more fat. But the fat will also be where you will see the contaminants, such as PCBs, dioxin. The flesh will also be where you might have the mercury contamination.
See, that's the thing about eating fish. It gets complicated, and there are no hard and fast rules. Sandretto says eating fish is all about treading a line between the advantages and the risks. So if there is a risk, you want to reduce it as much as possible.
Because if you have any risk in a particular type of food, if you only consume it once in a while, you have less risk of anything bad happening.
So think in terms of moderation and variety. Sandretto says it's cool if you want to eat fish once or twice a week, and to try and vary the kinds of fish that you eat. She says moderation and variety are actually great rules of thumb to apply to your entire diet. So that might mean eating a turkey sandwich on white one day, tuna on whole wheat the next, and a veggie burger the day after that. If you eat fish caught from local waters, check with your regional or state health departments for their fish advisories. Just because a waterway looks clean or is in a picturesque setting does not mean that its fish are harmless. Contaminants can enter the water in all kinds of ways. And one last thought. Imagine a little fish with a little bit of contamination in its body. Now imagine a medium-sized fish who swims along and eats that little fish and 99 of its closest small fish friends. That medium guy now has about 100 times more contamination than the small fish. And now let's say a big fish swims up and gulps down 10 medium fish. That big fish has a concentration that's 1,000 times higher than what the original small fish had. So the moral of that story is, eat smaller fish when possible, also called panfish. And at the end of the day, keep in mind that the majority of research, including a recent study from Harvard's School of Public Health, say the benefits of eating fish in moderation outweigh the risks. For the Environment Report, I'm Kyle Norris.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for generally nice conditions across the two states. In central and southern Indiana today, some clouds and scattered showers during the morning. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sun, a little more sun later on, and highs ranging from around 50 near the Chicago lakefront to around 65 in the far south. It'll be clear to partly cloudy tonight, with lows ranging from 35 in northeast Indiana to 42 in west central Illinois and the south. And for tomorrow, sunshine and highs ranging from 57 along the Chicago lakefront to around 70 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, April 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.